Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Canuck Otaku Podcast. We are here in February. It's been a while.
I will say
that we dropped the ball a little bit. I think for a good reason.
I can explain.
Luigi and I, we've both been pretty busy actually in the first month or so of the new year. We were busy for different things. Luigi had a lot of wedding stuff to take care of. And I've had a lot of stuff. I'm back in school. I've been doing a lot of other side projects. And so like this thing kind of just slowly rolled off without me noticing it. And I really didn't notice it until I realized I wasn't really watching that much this season. So
same.
It's kind of hard to find something to talk about when there's nothing to talk about.
Correct. I'm glad you say that because that's literally how I'm going into this episode. I think I've really kept up with maybe three shows.
But that's a good amount. And we've talked about this. It's like you don't have to watch everything. Choose a couple.
The funny thing is, two of those were shows that I was just already watching before. They're still just ongoing.
Just continuations, yeah. Because for me, all of the stuff that I'm watching, because I told myself that I wasn't good at just talk about the season of sequels. Mm-hmm. So I actually chose shows which are starting and running for the first time this season.
Right. That's kind of the opposite of me. Yeah. I am watching Attack on Titan. You know what? No, wait. We're eventually going to talk about what we're watching, but I guess we could probably first address why we haven't been watching too much. I felt that, or at least I want to address it, because I felt that this season, it looked very stacked. And that kind of overwhelmed me to the point where I was like, I don't want to commit to all these shows.
That's actually, that's a really good way of thinking about it. Because it definitely is a stacked season.
It is.
And I've really noticed that when you see watchers who don't normally watch anime start talking about it, that's kind of how you know that we've got a stack season. Because I've been checking Facebook and Instagram, and one of the things that I've noticed is people are saying, I'm watching Attack on Titan, it's awesome. And it just blows my mind, because it's far reaching, and it's just reaching out to new viewers,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff. So, in some ways, it's a good thing.
No, it's a wonderful thing.
And right now, Attack on Titan, I think in terms of the legacy that it's going to have, it's going to be on the same tier list as I would say, Full Metal Alchemist, or
it already is.
Yeah, right. Or it has the same universality.
Yeah.
As something Full Metal Alchemist, or maybe Dragon Ball Z. Or
One Punch Man. It's a classic in the making.
I would say in terms of shows this decade, or I guess this is the new decade, but shows of the past 10 years, this is probably one of those things that is going to be as revered as, let's say, a lot of the classic, your Cowboy Bebop, your
Evangelion,
FMA, all those kinds of shows. So I'm really looking forward to eventually getting into that. I think the reason why I haven't started it, or not started it, but continued it, and I think the same answer could be said for ReZero as well, because I haven't caught up with ReZero. It feels as though that when you're dealing with a show that has that kind of presence,
the hype can really cloud your judgment, or it could influence your viewing experience, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. But it's also just the weight of what it means to watch it as well as talk about it.
100%.
Because if I was just watching it, then yeah, for sure. Like I will just watch, I'll watch everything. But when you're actually in the position that I'm in or that we're in, where you're watching something, you have to spend energy to actually watch it and then think of something to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pressure. And
no, there is.
I guess that's, yeah.
It's funny that you do bring up ReZero because I finished the season 2 part 1, which was what aired, I guess, 2 seasons ago or whatnot. I finished that like, I don't know, early January. So I was like, okay, I'm caught up. I'm going to watch it. I saw the first episode of season 2 part 2 and that's it. Because ReZero is also one of those shows that it's just so heavy on the content and you have to sit there and you have to really take in everything they're saying, every single line. You have to, like, if you don't, I mean, obviously I don't overanalyze every show that I watch, but ReZero is one of those that you're like, okay, I don't understand what the fuck is going
what
on.
What is going on, right?
To get it, just any hints whatsoever, you have to pay attention every single second. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's one of those shows that I have to be in the mood to watch it. And
oh no, like I 100% agree. And especially when it's something that you know everybody's talking about.
That too.
Like I don't want to be like wrong, or I don't want to say the wrong thing, or I don't want to miss something. Because right. Like sometimes I'll think of something and then I completely forgot about a certain thing, which would completely ruin my argument. And then in retrospect, I'm thinking like, oh shit, like why did I not think of that? Because I'm not one of those people that's extremely stubborn with my views. If I see evidence of something, like you can prove me wrong. And if you prove me wrong,
I'll accept it.
I'll accept it. Right. And I will. Yeah.
Well, I guess I have a different approach because I don't really care if I disagree with people.
Yeah. Well, it's not really like previously. I wouldn't say it's people. It's like more like me against me. I don't want to be. Yeah. Like I'm always at odds with my past self. That's right. The way that I see it.
Ah, but that's fine. That's
yeah.
That happens.
So,
but
yeah. It's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I've been, so it's almost like, I guess things started after that Toradora episode. Like I always have to go back to that. Cause like that was a,
it was heavy.
It was a marathon. And it was almost like anime burnout after that.
Yeah, so I think I experienced quite a bit of that as well, and that's why I've been the only show that's heavy thinker right now that I'm keeping up with is Attack on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
All the other shows that I might watch are just kind of like easy to watch.
Yeah. Do you know? Like, do you want to know how I know that I'm in a burnout right now?
You're watching an isekai.
I'm watching isekais.
Yeah, because I saw your post on Instagram and I was like, what?
Yeah. So my list today is mostly fun. There is one that I want to talk about, even though I'm not entirely convinced with the show. But yeah, we'll talk about it.
So I guess, yeah, what's your list?
My list. So my list, I've got, in terms of the isekais that I'm watching, I've got So Am I Spider, So What? And then I have Jobless Reincarnation. My other shows, I've got a really, really weird one. It's Heaven's Design Team. And then the last one is a bottom tier Tomozaki-kun.
So you know what's funny? As of right now, we have zero overlap.
All right, awesome. We've got a lot to talk about.
Yes, because, I mean, I do plan to watch the Jobless Reincarnation, but I haven't started it. I have it set as watching, but it's at 0 episodes out of 11.
Mm-hmm. The two isekais that I chose, like, both it's one of those shows where I wish the series were finished, so and then I could just breeze through everything all at once. It's that kind of thing because the episodes go by really, really quickly, and they're just so enjoyable.
So that's sort of how I feel about a lot of the shows that I saw on this season, and that's also another reason why I think I haven't started any other shows. One of them being, for example, Beastars. I finished season one in like one day, so I've been kind of planning to finish season two in one or two days, probably, if it's that good. But I do certainly agree with you that some episodes feel like they're, I don't know, 5 minutes long. I've been keeping up with Slime, and I actually do have quite a few gripes with the way that Slime is going, but yeah, the episodes feel like they're just 6 minutes long tops. And it's crazy. You finish it and you're like, oh, wait, why am I watching this weekly?
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, my list is I'm still watching Jujutsu Kaisen. That's still airing. So I'm caught up with that 18 episodes in. I am, I guess, ReZero? Quote unquote. I mean, I've seen one episode, so I guess I started it. If you can count that. Attack on Titan, I am 10 episodes into the season, so I'm caught up with that. Slime, I'm caught up with 6 episodes. And the show that I did watch one episode of a new show today, and it's Wonder Egg Priority.
That's another one I need to get around to.
Whoa!
Yeah, I've read a little bit into it, so...
Banger. It's it blew me by surprise. Like, obviously, when I first saw it, I was like, no, I don't think I'll check that out. The season's way too stacked. And then I saw that people were talking about it, and I was like, okay, guess I'll give it a try. And yep. Another show that I did check out just because I wanted to see what all the talk was about,
mm-hmm,
is have you heard of
Can you talk? Sorry.
Wait,
go ahead.
Wait, have you heard of a show called Redo of a Healer?
I've read it. I'm not interested in it.
Wait, you've read it?
I've read about it.
You've read about it.
I know what happens. And
yeah, no, me too. And I guess curiosity kind of killed the cat with me in this one, so I did watch like 4 episodes or something like that just to see how bad it was, and it's bad.
Like, this is, like, just the things that...
It's so bad, man.
The things that these shows could possibly foster in people.
No,
because you never know, like, I guess we have to talk about this, but, like...
Chris, it's not a possibly. I think it borderline does, because... So this show is not on Funimation, it's not on Crunchyroll. You have to go outside to watch it, mm-hmm, and it's in the website where I did watch the few episodes, there's comments at the bottom.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And so the comments really range between some people being like, oh, man, like this is a bit much, you know? And then there were the other comments going like, fuck yeah, this is what Shield Hero should have been the entire time. And it's like,
yeah, it's...
How about no? I will just go and say it. This show would have probably benefited from just being, well, rated XXX.
Like a hentai.
Like a hentai, yeah.
So, yeah, reading it, I was... I don't want to say, like, disgusted or disturbed, but I don't understand... Yeah.
Disgusted and disturbed to some, like, you know, it's... It's uncomfortable. And it's not like a good kind of uncomfortable. It's just uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like it's idolizing revenge on people.
Yes.
And not just like revenge, but revenge in just very, very despicable ways. And just the things that... Just the way that this could leave an impression on certain people. Because there are people that will always try to find a character in some series that they can either empathize with or that they look up to, right? And I mean, this kind of goes into that whole, how much responsibility should we put on media on how it affects our children, right? I mean, this kind of goes into the, like, you know, do video games cause violence, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
right?
Does music cause violence?
Yeah, but like when we deal with things such as Redo of Healer, where like it's extremely explicit and we get to actually see and hear the thoughts of what's going through this guy's mind as he does certain things, right? Yeah, like I think that there's a huge problem with shows such as this. And like it's not one of those things where it's you know, there could be, what's the best way of describing this, but it's an issue.
It's difficult too, because that's that little what's the word for it? Dilemma? No, paradox. I think paradox, because I'm not sure how to put it, but like, you know, regardless, the author does have freedom of, you know, creative freedom. So in the end, the responsibility on how this is interpreted falls into the viewers. But, you know, you can't censor the author, but should you? And it's, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you know what I'm, that's a difficult topic. I'm not qualified to talk about this, man. But yeah, that show is another one that I did check out, and it scares me. It actually does scare me quite a bit, because, you know, like anime always had those ecchi scenes, you know, the panty shots, but they were usually kind of quirky and stuff. But this is just full blown, like,
I know, but when we're dealing with things that's just like
torture,
sexual abuse, all this kind of stuff. Like it's such a,
it's difficult. It's very fucked up.
It's fucked up. Like that's probably the best way of describing it. And
it is.
I'm saying
anime going too far? Because I think it is. And honestly, it kind of pains me to say this, because this is not Redo of Healer, but I think the series, it's kind of like, I don't want to say responsible for breaking down these walls as to what you can get away with animating. But Ichizoku reviewers definitely pushed the boundaries on how far you can take anime. And I think Redo of Healers is trying to like quadruple that. I don't know. It's like, hey, we're going to take everything Ichizoku reviewers did and just add all the worst things that you could possibly imagine. All these crimes against humanity. On both sides of the story, right? Because obviously the antagonists are bad, but then the protagonist is also an antagonist himself. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Everybody loses with this show.
Yeah, and like
everybody loses.
Yeah,
It's a toughie.
Yeah,
like and it's... Honestly, I mean, you touched on this with the fact that Attack on Titan is getting so much publicity right now. Like, everybody's talking about it to the point where I feel like almost no one is talking about how bad the things Redo of Healer is showing are. You know, like, I'm on anime Twitter, man, with our account. I haven't seen people being outraged. I've seen people being outraged at Attack on Titan's animation, which has been like stellar.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen people being outraged at Redo of Healer. Like, what?
Yeah, I like the people that are there are people coming to its defense, saying like it's just a series trying to be edgy. I think people are taking it are blowing it out of proportion. But I personally just disagree with just the whole idea of
the whole concept,
the whole concept and just the content matter that's in it. And that's coming from me, that who's pretty liberal and pretty libertarian about a lot of these things, where, you know, there's a lot of freedom when it comes to creative arts. But when you have something like that, it doesn't sit right with me personally.
It should have stayed like in 4chan or something. I don't know.
So,
but yeah. But that's my list, basically. I did drop that. I'm not going to continue watching it.
It's like that. It was like that.
Well,
that
my curiosity was
the Dogeza, or not Dogeza, but like that show with like people like prostrate.
Yeah, like, the Dogeza.
It's that kind of show. It's just like, why?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why? But this is just a why in like a whole other level.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally revenge hentai, but not a hentai. It would have been better off just being a hentai, I think. Mm-hmm. Just don't show it on TV. But yeah, that's, I guess, another two shows that I am still trying to watch: Hataraku Saibo, season one. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Biology lesson.
Voice crack.
The show.
Yeah, season one biology lesson, and I did watch one episode of Fate Extra last encore, but might drop that. it was not a strong start for a Fate series.
So question for you, can you talk about your shows without spoiling anything?
Yes, okay. I believe so. So I've already talked plenty about Jujutsu Kaisen. I don't have to touch that.
All right.
It's still pretty much, it's a solid shonen. If you like shonen, watch it. It's pretty good. Is it better than Naruto? I don't know. Who knows? But it's still pretty good. Which one? Okay. Slime. I do have a couple gripes. I was initially thinking that I was just going to mention this in our podcast and just saying, like, if you liked Slime Season 1, you're going to like Slime Season 2. And although that's right, that upholds, I have an issue with Season 2 because, holy shit, the pacing. This is, like, I'm still not, it's still not a show where I'm paying attention to every detail, but holy, we're like speed running this. The pacing is so quick. So many things happen so quickly. It's like, and I guess this is minor spoilers, very, very minor. They start doing some diplomacy, which makes sense. They have a nation of whatever. And literally, it's like, yeah, so we sent diplomats. 2 days later, they came back. We started, and then they came with the diplomats from that other nation. We started talking, whatever. Anyway, 3 days have passed. They left. Look, there's new characters here again. These are diplomats for other... now we're going to go to that other nation over there. It's like, slow it down. Why? If you're going to go that quick, should I even give a shit about these diplomats from their other nations? Like, I understand that they're kind of set... They're probably used it more to set up some of the things that are going on now in episode 6. And 5, or at least that's what I was expecting, because, funny thing, those other nations aren't really taking part of episodes 5 and 6. It's a whole other third nation that was introduced. And it's like, the fuck, man? And so, am I enjoying it? Yes. Do I know what's going on? No. But I feel like I should... know what's going on. It's mm-hmm. This is not a show where it's like Attack on Titan, where you're like trying to figure out the character's decisions and everything. This is a slime that's overpowered.
Yeah, like if you can't follow an isekai plot,
exactly.
then what's going on?
this is literally just an overpowered slime.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it depends on the isekai. Like, there are some isekais with very fleshed out
Re-Zero, ends. Right?
Yeah, right? And that's then there an are your, I guess I would call them generic isekai, where it's literally you're in another world,
and you're
inserts OP. Modification. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's either the flushed out isekais, or you have the power fantasy isekais. And then in terms of power fantasy, sure, Slime has very endearing characters, and it's season one was very well written. But yeah, season two is a speed run, and man, I'm watching it, but am I gonna remember anything after the end of this? Probably not. And I don't think that's a good thing. So we'll see. But I'm still watching. I mean, it's still enjoyable. It's just I don't know, man. It's maybe I'm getting too old for this. It could also be the fact that I've been watching it at like 12 at night, like one episode, like before going to sleep, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I've been engaged with the isekais that I'm watching.
That's what I've heard about the jobless one.
Especially that one, yeah. That one you can get pretty engaged into. And there's a lot more stuff in there than just your general isekai.
Right.
Maybe I'll talk about that second. Maybe I'll talk about the spider. There isn't much to talk about the spider one.
Can I be honest with you? Well, when I saw the spider, I legit thought, is this just a copy of Slime?
That's what people are saying. I'll talk about why I'm watching this and why I'm sticking with it.
Yeah,
so I'm watching two isekais a season, which is two more than what I normally watch each season. So the main reason why I'm so wary of isekais is not just that there are so many of them, but because so many of them fail to hit the mark. And I would probably fault all the studios that seem to greenlight every single one of them that come its way. Kadokawa. So, I mean, like your general isekai premise, you could, the general equation, or it's not really an equation, but the general phrase that you can use to create an isekai is going to be, you're in another world, but, right? And usually, like, the more obscure and bizarre condition, like, it almost acts like clickbait for people.
100%.
Because it's like, oh, like, what's this going to be about, right? And that's kind of why I chose the spider one, because, like, oh, you know, you're in another world, there's a spider, that's kind of weird. But, like, sometimes you think an idea would make for a really interesting plot, and then you realize or you observe that the actual execution of that idea completely falls off the bandwagon before it's even left the station. And like, I'll use two series to demonstrate this thought, as both of these shows have really interesting ideas. So one is, you're in another world, but I'm the devil and I work at McDonald's. So AKA the devil is a part-timer. The other one is, I'm in another world, but I have a cell phone. Which is, of course, in another world with my smartphone. I mean, they didn't even try to change the title at all. So Devil's a part-timer. In regards to the animated portion, which is kind of like the first part of the series, because the series does go downhill, unfortunately. But it was executed really, really well. Engaging, yes. Funny, love the stories, love the setting. How they used the plot... or the isekai condition, where it's a devil, he's working at McDonald's because he can't afford to stay anywhere else, right? He needs a job. Yeah, it worked really well. When it comes to in another world with a smartphone, like, you think to yourself, like, there are so many ways that this can go.
Did you actually watch that show, by the way?
I saw like three episodes, and I was done with it. But it just turns into just... like, waste of potential. There was so much potential. Like, you have this magic device that can, like, take photos. It can track location. You can, like, look up, like, you can Google shit.
But dude, the harem.
But the harem.
But the harem.
Like, and then that's what most of these isekais turn into. Really, it's not so much about the plot device. It's more about, like, how many girls can this guy get, which is sad, because that's kind of where jobless reincarnation is leading towards. And like, I hope that that doesn't ruin my overall experience of it, because my overall experience with it is that it's actually pretty good. There are some
I've heard that there's
in-depth. There are some in-depth things that the show is trying to address and include, which I really, really appreciate, and I'll get to that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so two shows I'm watching. So I'll talk about the spider one first. Best way to describe it: it's fun. Like, really, there's no other way to describe it. And it's a fun show for multiple reasons. One, the premise is hilarious, and I really like the execution of it. So the main premise is that an entire high school classroom explodes for whatever reason. I don't know. Anyway, the explosion takes out everyone in the classroom, including the students and the teacher. And then the entire class is reincarnated into another world. So not just one person, it's everyone.
Oh. So
our main character was an outcast in the real world. I guess everyone, that's kind of prerequisite, I think. Main character was an outcast in the real world and then gets reincarnated as a tiny spider in an extremely dangerous dungeon with high level monsters. Over time, she has to learn how to survive and level up steadily and carefully using like guerrilla tactics to get the better of these vicious monsters that could like easily wipe her out in one hit. So she's extremely careful and really strategic with what she does. And like what I love, and like I was kind of noticing this with like watching your Skyrim playthrough.
Oh god!
Because
I was gonna
the thing
mention
is that, like, she like, you know how like in Skyrim there are so many ways that you can abuse the hell out of the system to make sure that you don't die. Like, yep. You know, you go into the menu, you use potions. When you level up, you restore like everything. Yeah, she does that. So she abuses the hell out of game mechanics. So like sometimes in the middle of a battle, when she knows she's kind of like close to leveling up. She almost like relies on the fact that she's close to leveling up as an excuse to go all out and like possibly get close to dying, because she knows that if she levels up, she gets healed right away. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of RPG.
Yeah.
RPG mechanics that she knows because she was like an outcast that played video games all day. So she's exploiting the system pretty much.
That's funny.
Yeah. So there are two sides of the plot. So the first is the spider. Her name's Kumoko or something like that. Yeah, Kumoko. And so half the story is her and her exploits in the dungeon. And she ends up the way that she progresses her skill tree, I guess that would be one way of describing it, is she goes for like the glass cannon route, where she's extremely squishy, but her venom is so dangerous that like one bite will kill any enemy. It's great. It's great. I love it. The other part of the story revolves around the other students and the homeroom teacher, because the teacher gets reincarnated. It's kind of cool. I kind of like that. All of them get reincarnated as much more favorable individuals. Like they're all related to like royalty or nobility. So they kind of have it easy.
No.
Some of them do get reincarnated as like animals. And then just to stick with the other students, they become like the pets of one of the other students.
That kind of sucks.
It kind of sucks, but at least you're not in a dungeon. At least you're not in a dungeon and dying.
One of them
gets reincarnated as a baby dragon, so you can kind of
cool.
See. Yeah, that's kind of cool, and your progress potential is really, really good.
Right, but like if I'm in a class, I wouldn't want to be Buddy Guy's dog, you know, if I die. So that's kind of funny, but.
But you're a Buddy Guy's dog who can talk.
Ooh. No, but that sounds interesting.
Okay. Yeah, so that part of the plot is the students trying to find all the other students that they can round each other up and then go from there. Because I think the teacher's special ability is to be able to detect reincarnated souls. So every time she detects something, they try to narrow it down. It's all right. And then you can easily, like, one of the students is like a fuckboy and like just a giant asshole. So you know he's going to be the one that turns on everyone at some point.
Right, of course.
Yeah. Like, in my thought, like, you should just kill this guy because he's not helping anyone. I couldn't care less about that side of the story. The main reason why anyone should watch this, Aoi Yuki. She voices Kumoko, and she is un-fucking believable in this show. She voiced Tanya. She voiced this little sister in Odegaidu. She voiced Mami in was that one show?
Mami.
Rental Girlfriend. What else? She was Kaname in Madoka. She was can't remember anyone else. She's the frog girl in My Hero Academia.
Oh, what's her name?
Tsuyu, yeah. Anyway, I know we're only into the first 2 months of the year, but I would say contender
for best BA
for performance of the year. She is absolutely amazing. So Kumoko as a character, extremely hyperactive, loud, and borderline manic. She is absolutely everywhere. In terms of the emotional spectrum. Like, 1 minute she's really confident about her abilities. Next thing you know, she's screaming. She's on fire. Next thing, like, she's throwing up and complaining about having to eat rotten flesh for dinner. Next thing you know, she's showing off her crib, which is like a web, which includes like a web kitchen or a kitchen made out of webs, a living room made out of webs with a web TV, a web bedroom with a web bed and a web pillow. She's all over the place. She's adorable. And it's a role that requires a voice actor with an extremely wide dynamic range. And she delivers. Yeah, nomination for performance of the year. She's just that good. I couldn't care less about the other story with the other students. All I want is, like, if I could have a show with just her, yeah, like that. I would be okay with that. Just like you know how sometimes there are Twitch streamers that can just engage the hell out of everything. They're entertaining. They're funny. They just know how to, like, their presence and their persona and like everything about themselves just radiates. Right. I guess not just streamers, but like celebrities, that kind of stuff. Like Aoi Yuki, she radiates. That would be the best way to describe it. She just radiates.
Interesting.
Like, in terms of like voice actress tier lists, she's in top three for me right now because of this single role. That's how good her ability is. I'm hyping her up just a bit, but like for anyone who hasn't watched The Spider Isekai, watch it because of her. You know that Simpsons meme where it's like, do it for her, and then it's like shows a picture of Maggie? Yeah. watch the show for the voice acting.
Okay. Yeah. That's one of the shows that completely honest with you, I'm usually on board with isekais, but I was like, a spider? I don't know. Not my thing. I mean, I'm not scared of spiders, but like,
I'm also not. She's adorable. The spider is adorable.
I'll check it out. You're really hyping it up here.
I am. I just a little bit.
she played Yuki in Sword Art Online.
The Terminal Girl.
Yes.
Yes. Oops. Yeah. In case you haven't watched it already.
Sword Art Online 2, yeah. Spoilers, I guess.
Yeah. Also, the opening and ending bangers, especially the ending. Yeah, the ending is the spider at a like an idol rave concert.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll check it out. I guess I can briefly talk. I'm saying briefly because what's there to be said? Everyone's talking about it.
You can be brief. I've got a lot to talk about with the other ones, so it's all good. I can make up.
Attack on Titan. So, I think I've already talked about it a bit on our previous episodes or whatnot, but Studio MAPPA, fun fact, they're also doing Jujutsu Kaisen, so they're doing both two, like, you know, arguably the two biggest shows right now, just because they're the two shonens going on. Studio MAPPA is absolutely killing it. Absolutely killing it. Except maybe on the last episode, I did have a couple of gripes here and there with the art style. Or I don't know if you remember Commander Pixies, but one of the characters, they gave the guy a 6 head, not even a 5 head. Like this dude, big brain. Okay, like the man's smart, but like you didn't have to showcase how smart he is, you know. but they're still killing it, in my opinion. A lot of people have been complaining, but everything in Attack on Titan has been amazing so far. But you know what, Chris? I will be honest with you though. I don't think they're gonna finish it with this season. It's called the final season, but I'm 10 episodes in, and I kid you not, I've been watching it with some friends of mine. We've been doing watch parties, and man, none of us know how they could possibly finish it in 6 episodes.
And there's a lot on the line.
There's like,
with the
too
show
much.
Of this reputation.
Yep.
If you mess up the ending,
so
that's all they're going to talk about. So well, I'm yeah. So I, like anecdote. The Mass Effect Legendary Edition is coming out in a couple months. Mm-hmm. Mass Effect is probably my second favorite video game series of all time.
Did Andromeda like suck ass?
If amazing like journey over 3 games where every single decision you make affects the final outcome, and then you have this build up towards this amazing final battle, and then the ending is just a
well, so it's funny that you mentioned that, because one of the friends that I'm watching Attack on Titan with, he's not even like a weeb. Attack on Titan is his first and only anime that he's ever seen. Mm-hmm. So this he's literally a prime example of what you've seen on Facebook, that people that just don't watch anime are talking about Attack on Titan. But he's also one of my friends that we watched, but we didn't do watch parties, but we would keep up with each other on Game of Thrones. And I kid you not, at the end of the 10th episode, the episode 69, nice. At the end of that episode, we just kind of sat there and we're like, well, it was a bit of a slower episode, in my opinion. And my friend literally just paused for a moment and said, is this going to be another Game of Thrones season 8? And honestly, I'm scared. I'm really hoping that they announce a movie. I'd be fine with a movie. In fact, I think that's my preferred route. If they kind of like hype it all up to the point where like it's where if this season ends right before the final battle type thing, and then the final battle is released as a movie format, I'm in. Yes,
that could be a good way of doing it. Like, and it's not the first show that's done that.
Exactly.
Gintama was the most recent one that was.
Well, even if they pulled. Wait, did you watch Demon Slayer?
Not all of it.
Well, actually, the movie came out anyway, so you already know that there's a movie. So this is not a spoiler, but at the end, if I'm not wrong, if I recall correctly, at the end of the season of Demon Slayer, literally the end of the final episode ends with the trailer for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, hey, don't worry. It's not a season two, but it's a movie. And then now they announced season two. But if obviously they're not going to announce a movie right now for Attack on Titan, and I wouldn't announce it. But I really hope they do at the end of the season, because the way that it's going, I don't think they can finish it in six episodes.
And if they did, it wouldn't be...
It would feel so rushed.
Yeah.
Because, well, I'm saying six episodes, but really it's more like five, because I did watch the preview at the end of the episode, and it looks like the next episode is also not going to be very driven in terms of plot. It might bring to light a couple more like plot devices here and there, but in terms of actually pushing the story forwards, it looks like this next episode won't really do that. Because the past few episodes have been a bit more of like, here's actually what happened or whatever, some background information type thing. So we haven't really kept going, which is worrisome. Now they could also announce a season four part two. And as much as, you know, that would mean more content, I kind of hope they don't do that. I hope that it's a movie where they can just make it the best animation they can make it. Because a movie will definitely have an even bigger budget as well.
Exactly.
And I kid you not, I would love to be able to just go to the theaters.
Watch it.
And watch it in theaters. And that would be just nice. Like, I don't want to hype myself up with a rumor, but if they did that, yes. I think that'd be a very good way to finish it off. But
and from a marketing standpoint, they are bound to make a killing if they were to do that.
100%.
And because if you're getting anime and non-anime watchers into that,
yeah,
like I can't even imagine what the turnout could be for that sort of thing.
I was telling my friend that, like, oh, there's a, in Calgary, for example, there's at least one movie theater that has shown anime movies, right?
Yeah, and I've been to them.
Yeah, Konosuba?
I saw the Konosuba movie in theaters. I saw Weathering with You in theaters. They did show Your Name, but I wasn't able to get tickets for that. It was sold out so quickly.
I feel like Attack on Titan, though, is with how big it is now, I feel like more than just one theater doing the anime, like one quirky theater doing like, hey, we're showing anime movies. I feel like it could potentially be taken by multiple.
That's interesting. I'm trying to remember any shows in recent memory that were shown in like every single Cineplex in Calgary. Because but it was a long time ago. I remember seeing Pokemon, the movie.
Well, I was going to bring up Pokemon, yeah.
And I remember seeing Digimon, the movie. I saw both of those in the local theater by my house, which is not a large theater. It's not Chinook Theater, if you're Calgarian. The West Hills location.
I wasn't sure if you were going to bring up to say the name, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's our local theater because I live, used to, Fort Mac.
I saw
Attack on Titan. Bro.
Maybe not.
If Fort Mac showed Attack on Titan, hell yeah, bro. You know I'm going to that. But legit, I think that would be, in my opinion, the best course of action. I'm really hoping they do that. Obviously, from a marketing perspective, they're not going to announce anything until the end of this season. Because if they announce anything right now, people are probably going to like, oh, okay, maybe I won't finish this now and just wait until the movie's coming. No, better to keep the hype right now.
Yeah, they're playing their cards right by not giving us any idea of
any
clue what's happening.
Yeah. So we'll see how that's going. But I will say, a part of me is still worried just because I did experience Game of Thrones season 8.
Yeah, and like I think most people have experienced disappointment with endings and the way that series have ended. For
Erased.
Me, well, I'm talking about just like recently. Like for me, yeah. Like Star Wars was that one thing where
what?
Where you know like
the Force healing?
No. Well, like I was thinking about how nothing got done in The Last Jedi. And then yeah. Suddenly you have one movie to make up for not just ending a series, but actually having some sort of progression that the last movie didn't have.
No.
People shit on Rise of Skywalker. I shit on Last Jedi a lot more.
I shit on both. But I think one of the biggest... now we're not talking about anime. But I do want to do... I do have some thoughts on the sequels trilogy, but I think the biggest issue is obviously the fact that they didn't hire the same director for all three mm-hmm. of them, so that because that's why they feel so disconnected with because with The Last Jedi, sure, they you know they showed that Luke is not perfect and this and that and like okay I get it, but there were so many plot holes.
No, and that's the thing. Like, you could erase Last Jedi, and you wouldn't have missed anything.
No, I agree.
There was absolutely nothing there.
You know what's my favorite thing that I can argue about Last Jedi? I love that sequence where what's his name? Poe, the fighter pilot guy.
The fighter pilot. Yeah.
He goes to like the captain chick, and he's like, hey. We need to do something about this. And she's like, don't worry about it. And then he's like, fine. I'm going to go do something behind your back. And then there's like this whole huge, like little side story of, I think it's Poe and Finn and the girl. And they all like, they go to the casino and everything. And then when they come back, the Admiral's like, oh no, I had a plan all along. This is my plan. And they were like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll do your plan. I was just sitting there like,
You couldn't tell me this an hour ago?
you couldn't have just told them and they would have just, stayed there?
Yeah, I don't want to be disappointed again. So
yeah. Me neither. So we'll see. I mean, it's still really good, but there's just there's still so many things going on in Attack on Titan that leave you, what the fuck? And then they have to explain it, and then... they're running out of time to explain things, so please give us a movie. That's my thoughts on Attack on Titan. And I don't know, did you want me to talk about the one first episode of Wonder Egg Priority?
If you wanted to talk about it.
So,
I mean, I might watch the first episode soon.
Watched it 2 hours ago. And...
messes with you.
It really does. First of all, I was loving the visuals. The visuals were absolutely stunning. The animation, you know how sometimes, I mean, I did this about Irumakun, which I need to keep watching or I need to catch up with you guys, but...
we started a watch club, by the way.
Yes, we've been doing watch parties of Irumakun. Well, I've only attended one, but... you know how one of my gripes about Irumakun was kind of like, it's so colorful that I had to be like in a mood to watch something that colorful? Wonder Egg Priority, somehow I would describe it as the one show where it's like colorful, but not too much. Like it's a perfect amount of color, which I find that it is a wonderful, that's a kind of nod to the name, but it's a wonderful contrast to the content in the show. So it's not much of a... I'm not going to tell you much about... I don't know how much you know, Chris, and I don't want to say much about the plot, but it is, at least on Funimation, and I kind of... sometimes I hate that they do this because it takes away from the surprise, but it is... tagged as a psychological drama.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously something's going to happen. Like it's bound to be more than just cute girls harvesting eggs. I don't know. And immediately they're definitely dealing with some heavy topics.
Mm-hmm. No, I know that much.
You know that much. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Very heavy topics, but very colorful and beautiful animation. So the contrast there, it's just, I don't want to say, it's not offsetting or it's not uncomfortable, but it's just really accentuates both ends of the show, in my opinion. And it's really balancing, it's doing a little balancing act with that. And it's at least the first episode, I've only seen the first episode, but it did it, in my opinion, magnificently. I said it right? I said it right?
You said it right the first time.
Yeah, I said it right magnificently. But yeah, it's killing it. And it kind of has like some quirky things about the animation too. That I don't want to say that it's reminiscent of Bakemonogatari, but it makes me feel how Bakemonogatari made me feel. Because buildings will look kind of crooked in some angles, and it's just like a kind of like artsy but not too artsy approach.
Okay.
And I like it. I guess to kind of mimic our previous discussion in our previous episode, but I would almost consider it kind of like the prog of animation. I'll listen to
prog. When I watch it, I'll see.
But yeah, like I'm really excited to keep watching it. After the first episode, I was like, yeah, I should have hopped on this earlier. And you know, there's something magical when you find a show like that, like, hey, why didn't I watch this before? Mm-hmm. And so this is one of those. So I do recommend it. That's all I have to say, because, yeah, I don't...
That's all you got.
All I got. And I really feel like we could possibly do like a deep dive on
this.
Yeah,
for sure. These are just initial thoughts. We're halfway through the season. So there's a lot of stuff that can still happen. Mm-hmm. I've got three more shows to talk about.
Go ahead. Because
I only talked about one. First one, I'll go to a non-isekai, Heaven's Design Team. If you are a... This was a... I don't know. I saw this one because it showed up on my Facebook. It was like... I think it was like a Crunchyroll ad or something like that popped up. But this is another fun one. It's stupid. It's... Like, it's not... I don't know the best way to describe it. It's fun. There's no plot. It's a slice of life.
Okay.
It's episodic. If you're a fan of like biology, if you've ever been on any sort of like engineering or design team, this is a show that you should pick up, even though it's like, you think it's like a has religious connotations. So the main premise of Heaven's Design Team is that if you were raised Catholic like I was, you learn that in Genesis there was God, and God created the heavens and the earth. He made night and day, he made land and water, and then he made all the living creatures that lived on them. Right?
Correct.
Yeah. So when you think about
Genesis,
like, yeah, when you think about all the diversity amongst like living organisms, between like animals of the same genus or kingdom, I can't remember my tiers, biology
family
tier.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much diversity, and you kind of think about like, well, why does this animal have that specific property or something like that? And it's like, it's hard to imagine, if you are religious, it's hard to imagine that a single person thought of it all. So the series gives us a what if scenario where God actually outsourced all of his ideas to a design team. So the premise is really stupid, right? So
I don't want to do this. I'm going to contract it out.
Yeah. So he contracts it out. So there's a team of, I can't remember how many, but there's a new angel that acts as the liaison. He's like the middleman between God and the design team. So when God approves or rejects a design, he's the one that that lets them know. I'm laughing thinking about it now. This is really, it's really funny. You should just watch it. But the way that animal designs go is that the client, God, requests a certain organism with specific properties. Sorry. With specific properties. And then the team discusses what the organism should look like. So I mean, if you've ever been on like a design team where like you're just in a round table and you're just discussing like what kind of things like a thing should have or like features and all that stuff, and you start to create prototypes, and like they do create prototypes of animals. Sorry, I'm just it's so stupid. So you're in a design team, and like people are just throwing off ideas. Sometimes like you're making fun of other people. Oh, your idea is stupid. Why did you do that? And the next thing you know, like the stupidest idea is the one that gets picked as like a feature.
Gets selected. Into the item.
So it's kind of like that sort of thing. So for example, and then like they send it to the engineering department. There is an engineering department. They're the ones that actually makes the prototype to see if it actually works. For example, the very first animal that they get called to design in episode one is they need an animal that can eat leaves that are really high up. What animal are we talking about?
A giraffe.
A giraffe. Thank you. Good job, Luigi.
Yeah.
So obviously you think giraffe, but the premise is that this is before the actual finalized version of a giraffe is formed. So you get really stupid, bizarre ideas that are just thrown onto the drawing board during the brainstorming. So as with any group, there are different kinds of people in a group project. There are the people that stick with what they know and think of things that revolve around what they know. For example, one of the characters is the horse expert. So they're the ones that design horses, and every single animal that they think of is going to be based on a horse. So you think of like a zebra, for example, it's just a black and white horse. So they created like the blueprint. It's like, well, why don't we just create a horse with a really long neck? And then they design a horse with a really long neck.
A giraffe.
Yeah. So then you have other characters are the ones that try to be innovative and revolutionary for the sake of being innovative and revolutionary, while completely ignoring like practicality or actual design, so long as it's new. The other thing is that it kind of shows the back and forth between the designers and the engineers, which is kind of a realistic thing to happen, right? Like the engineer will always be there to say that a design is impossible to create, and here is my giant ass like list of reasons why. So for example, they use the example of a Pegasus. So the horse guy wanted to create a Pegasus. And the engineer was like, you can't do this. Like the body mass is way too high that like this creature is physically unable to fly. You've got
massive wings.
Yeah, right. And then they kind of say like, for this to actually work, like this is what actually has to be done. It's not practical. So for example, another example of banter, the designers are trying to outdo each other. So this is kind of like adaptations, like kind of explaining adaptations of animals. One person designs the snake. This is the revolutionary guy. It's like, I'm going to make an animal that doesn't have legs. So one person designs a snake, which starts eating the birds, and this pisses off the bird person. So the bird person makes a bird that eats the snake just to get back at the snake person.
So like an eagle or a hawk.
Yep.
Interesting.
So okay. Really, really fun. And then what's it called? Adaptations and evolution. They're called updates. So every time they feel as though like an organism needs an update, adaptations. Yeah, and then their testing ground, where they try out these adaptations, the Galapagos.
No. The Galapagos. Why the Galapagos?
Yep. So the Galapagos, it's like a, it's like the simulation room from the Matrix, where it's just a blank area, and then it can be whatever they want. And then their default is just an island in the middle of nowhere, which is kind of what the Galapagos is.
It is the Galapagos, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. I laughed for a good like 10 minutes in episode two. The episode two was, I don't know if I want to spoil it or not. Episode two was about making a unicorn. And there are, it's the unicorn design and the final punchline of the unicorn, part of the episode. It's probably one of the funniest things I've seen recently. Like, it is hilarious. So the unicorn part of it is like the horse. So the horse guy's trying to make a unicorn pass the testing, but the horn itself, it causes a lot of physiological problems for an actual horse. Something about like calcium, something about calcium. I can't remember. So they try to make attempted versions with slight alterations and it just goes awry. So I don't know how much of this is actually steeped in actual biology. I'm not a biologist, but yeah.
Interesting.
It's a fun show.
Okay.
Yeah, if you
consider it considered.
Yeah, biologists, designers, engineers, have a go at it. That's you, Luigi.
Might check it out because it might remind me of in my first year of engineering. I don't know if you had to do this, but our design class.
Oh my god,
we had to do a biomimicry project.
Yep, I had the exact same thing.
So that's literally when you started describing this, I was like, oh no. Because I remember, I think my group tried to do something relatively safe. I forget what we did actually, but I do remember hearing people like, yeah, we're really trying to I don't know, reinvent a shark.
I think my group, we were trying to do, it was like a water collection concept. We were trying to mimic the way that certain plants would actually have a way to hold water reserves and collect rainwater. And then that was the concept that we were trying to mimic.
You know, I absolutely forget what mine was. That was just such a forgettable course.
Yeah, half of it was just like, because me and another friend were in the same group with two other people. Half the time, like whenever me and my friend were talking about the project, it would just be shitting on the other the other members.
No, I was pretty good friends with everyone. Well, actually, there was one guy that just never showed up. But anyway, there's always that one person in a group.
There's always the one.
Always the one.
Do you want me to talk about jobless reincarnation
briefly? So okay. I can tell you, I watched a YouTube video of Giguk, just cause, and he did talk about that show. He didn't really spoil much, but I am aware that I think what you were going to mention is that the show, I've heard that, so according to Giguk, the show feels fleshed out. You know, like, it's not just a character thrust into an isekai, and it's like, oh, I'm suddenly overpowered, or, oh, I'm suddenly surrounded by chicks. So yeah, go ahead and talk about it, but I am interested.
I wouldn't really describe that as the reason why it's fleshed out. I would call it fleshed out because each of the characters' motivations are extremely believable. Partially because we know about their history and their personality. And because of that, we can kind of infer what kind of decisions they make. And if they make a certain decision that is in line with their character, then yeah, that's how you make a believable character. And like, there are a lot of characters that I really don't like because they make really bad decisions. But it's kind of expected that they would make really, really bad decisions, because you know that's exactly who they are.
Yeah, that's just their personality type mm-hmm. thing. So, mind you, okay, he didn't mention that. I think the one example that he used mostly for the whole fleshing out was also that they explained the magic system mm-hmm. in the show, it's not just like, oh yeah, you're in a new world and there's magic here. Cool. Apparently, obviously I haven't seen it, but apparently they do take the time to explain how it works.
Yeah, I'll talk about that, because that's one of the reasons why I really, really like how the show works. It's not so much about the magic or how they explain the magic, but more about the main character and how he approaches the understanding of the magic. So, Jobless Reincarnation, if I were to use my conditional phrase, it's in another world, but I still have my memories and vow to live my life right this time. Except you can't change who you are, so I end up like falling into some of the same holes as I was before.
Old habits.
That's kind of, I guess that's how you end up with really, really long light novel titles, is actually trying to explain explain the friend. I mean, that could be the title for this. In another world, but I still have my memories and vow to live my life right this time, except you can't change who you are, and so sometimes I fall into the same holes as I did before.
Light novel!
So our main character, who we know as Rudy, that's his isekai name, in the real mm-hmm. world was a neet who died trying to save some person from getting hit by truck-kun. Reincarnated as a baby, he still retains his memories and knowledge of his past life and vows to live a much more righteous and fulfilling life. Since he's pretty much an adult in a child's body, he's recognized as a prodigy and genius in the eyes of the people of the new world. So my favorite part about this is the concept of he's a child with the mind of an adult. Mm-hmm. Since he's able to use logic and awareness to figure out magic. So this is getting into the magic part. It's not the type of circumstance, and actually you brought this up, it's not the type of circumstance where he just knows how to do something and he's inherently gifted. Yep. It's more so the fact that he's actually able to figure it out. And it takes a long time. It takes like a year for him to figure out how to actually do a first level spell. So the first episode spends a great deal on him figuring out how to just create water and shape it. He's not even like firing it. He's just forming it in his hand. And there's like a time lapse of him just day after day. He's just doing the exact same thing over and over again and just figuring out how things work. Like if I do this slightly differently, this is the outcome. If I change this, then this is the outcome. A lot of just experimentation and being aware of what changes in his physical body or mental or in his mind, how those affect the final outcome. So he starts off with just creating the water, and then he goes through the process of determining like the amount that he creates. So how much water you create, how can you change how much water you create, how can you change the speed at which you send water flying, and then he figures out the concept of magic capacity, because no one's there to explain it to him. So is your overall magic capacity, is it something you're born with? Is it something that increases the more you do it? If you start off young, does it raise your potential even more? And it's kind of cool, because if you can think of these things when you're younger, it's like compound interest, where you're going to be that much better later on. I mean, think about in your own life, and I thought about this about me personally, where I think about things like music or athletic performance, where if I had the chance to do it over again, knowing the things that I do now, like how much different would my life be as a result of that? That's kind of like the interesting thing about it. He's just a really, really smart kid. And a lot of the adults are kind of, they're catching on, where it's like, you know, you don't really act like a kid. And mm-hmm. I can't really like manipulate you the way that I would normally manipulate children, since I know that you'll just catch me with my bullshit.
Yeah, I love that you use the word manipulate.
Yeah, because I mean, that's what adults do to kids, right? I'm a teacher. I know. I know what to do. And so there are several issues that the series addresses, which I think are pretty realistic, which is why I like it, is that if you're presented with a second chance at something, in this case, it's something as big as life, the question of if you're actually going to go through with it and do it differently can be argued. I think if you have the right resolve, you definitely can. But I think it's really, really hard for people to change. And the things that hold us back the first time can very well hold us back the second time. So one issue early on in the series is that this guy was a neet. Total recluse, afraid of leaving the house. And even as this new kid in a new world, since he still has the same mentality, he's afraid of going outside. So he tries to spend most of his time indoors, and you can actually see him like shake whenever anything involves leaving the house, or leaving just the general vicinity of his home. So like his seclusion is the result of past trauma, and the show does include that as part of his character development. You can kind of like he'll get flashbacks to his old life whenever he's faced with a similar stimuli in the new world. It's a really, really interesting idea. They execute it really, really well. And with the protagonist, he's also an asshole. he's a bit of an asshole. Like he's intelligent because he's older, and he knows like why people act a certain way. He knows how to get the certain outcome that he wants, but he's an asshole. I imagine him as Gin-san from Gintama, and it doesn't help that they're both voiced by the same guy. They're both voiced by Tomokazu Sugita, whose voice is, I will have to say, like the most suited for cynical, outspoken, degenerate characters. There's no better voice out there. If you need someone to voice like a likable asshole, no matter what shitty thing he does, you'll still like him. Yeah, that's the guy that you want.
Who else has he voiced?
He's voiced a lot of people.
Scrolling through his thing.
He was in JoJo's.
Oh, he was in Bleach. He's Kensei.
He was Joseph's Joe starring.
He was Joseph. Wait, part. All of Joseph? Oh! Holy shit! Yeah. Oh, I love Joseph.
Who else was he in? He was in a lot. He was Kyon in Haruhi.
But he's
young.
Is he
young Joseph?
Young Justa. Joseph. Oh. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So never mind. He's not the one that starts saying "Holy shit!"
No.
Or
that's old.
Oh yeah. My god.
What else about it? Another thing I like, every character is flawed. That's
good.
That's one thing that's really, really important to just create a really believable, as you say, human. fleshed out show. And like I said, as much as I hated some of the decisions that some characters made, everything seemed believable and it didn't ruin my experience. Like, I know you're an asshole and I know that I'm expecting you to make certain decisions. That's all I need out of a story.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what characters I hate, but I know that they're well written, but I'm blanking out, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's like, I don't like you, but you know, I'm enjoying the story.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know why you're needed.
Yeah. And like, people do some stupid shit in the show. And it's also crazy how graphic things get.
They don't shy away?
They don't shy away from people dying.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it.
All for people dying on anime. Wait.
I accidentally read a little bit into it, and we're looking at a harem ending. So I really hope that... Again, I really hope it doesn't ruin it. But the waifu wars, there is a pretty considerable waifu war happening. I am on a certain team.
So you're on a certain team. So I should watch it and then see if I'm on on your team or not.
It's we're looking at an RGB waifu war because every single character has a certain hair color.
Hair color.
Yeah. One girl has blue hair. Yeah. One girl has green hair. One girl has red hair.
Of course.
Choose your colors. I don't know if I should I reveal. Should I reveal
yours?
Mine.
No.
No. Okay.
Leave it until I watch a couple episodes and then I tell you which one I'm rooting for. Because if this ends up being kind of like same as Nisekoi, I'm going to love it. Because, I mean, I still remember back when Nisekoi was airing and you and I would just go back and forth on Nisekoi. Which is kind of funny because technically, my waifu in Nisekoi is not even Chitoge, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We both lost.
Yeah. We both lost, yeah.
Other things so about the show. Actually, overall thoughts on just the production. Holy shit. Animation and design, both world and character design, absolutely gorgeous. The style and the world, it reminds me a lot of... This is big for me to say, but it reminds me a lot of Violet Evergarden, which is one of the most beautiful shows ever made. It's not as, I wouldn't say the show is as beautiful as Violet Evergarden, but I liken it to that show because there is so much detail in the characters, in the buildings, in the flowers, in the trees, and especially the magic. When people cast spells, you know the production, you know the studio spent time on it. Rudy's first spell was the water spell, and like you can see like the way that the water like coalesces and just flows around, like it's testament to the attention to detail that the studio is putting into this. Speaking of studio, and this is gonna like this is huge. This show is the first full series animated by the studio. So this is Studio Bind. This is their first. This is their very first full series. They've done others. They've done like small stuff before, but this is their first series. And yeah, this is quite the bar that they've set themselves.
Now, I hope that it's a studio thing and not just a special team working on it. Because I've heard multiple things about Take One Punch Man season one.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as, it was made by a very reputable studio. I think One Punch Man is it Madhouse? Yes, Madhouse. But apparently the reason why it stood out the most is not just because it was Madhouse Studio, but also because they pulled in like key animators from like maybe even other studios. Like basically, apparently it was a team where it was just like, I know a guy. Oh, yeah, I know a guy. And then they all like got together and made season one. And then they didn't get together for season two. And yeah.
So it's like the animated version or the design team version of the Expendables. Like, let's just get every single like big name out there.
Basically.
And then make a shit out of a series.
Yeah. So now I'm hoping that since you're just saying, and I am seeing that this is their first show, if it is that good, hopefully that's just the quality of, that's just the standard that they're setting for themselves.
I hope so.
Because it could also be just a very strong team that perhaps might not be together for the next show or something like that. But that would be very interesting. That is very interesting that this is their first show. So they hit the ground running.
Yep. No, sound design is really, really good as well. A lot of moments where like just
that's big
like,
for you.
Just like mixture of how they use both animation and sound. If used in the right way, like you will forget to breathe. And I did have that in certain parts of the show where you just forget to breathe. Like, for example, like as much as I should in Last Jedi, my favorite scene was the Calamari Cruiser kamikaze attack through the Star Destroyer, specifically for the sound
Yes,
the way that the edited the sound, because literally, like, you have all this buildup and then nothing, silence.
Yeah,
and then you get the aftermath, right? Beautifully done. And there is something similar happens. There wasn't a calamari cruiser in the show, but there was a similar scene where, like, the use of sound was, or the, I guess the use of sound in that you don't use sound was just, oh man.
I love a good use of silence.
Yep.
This is completely unrelated, but I did see a short video. I think it was like an Instagram video or something. And it was a funk band doing, and then the drummer was doing a couple solos. Like, they were doing just ending the song, and then they were like, oh, like, drummer guy. And then, like, the drummer did like a couple fills. Then they send it over to him again, and he does like even fancier fills. And then the next time, he just like hits the snare once, and it's just silence. And then just everyone hops back onto the beat, and you can see that magical moment of like, he just did that. Like, the bassist and like the guitar players that were playing all were like, no way. And it's funny that you mentioned The Last Jedi, because that's, I saw that and I was like, I know this is completely unrelated, this is music, but it always reminds me of that scene of just and complete silence. And I was going to bring that scene up earlier when we were talking about Star Wars, because I was going to tell you that they had that entire useless plot, but I guess you could quote unquote say that it did lead towards this very good scene.
Yeah, I mean, that was the that was the best part of the movie.
I agree.
This is the only good part of the movie. I've got one last show. So yeah.
Which one?
Bottom tier Tomazaki-kun. I don't have much to talk about, because I'm going to talk about what it's about rather than... I'm going to talk about what the show's trying to discuss rather than what the show is about. The show on its own, it's a run-of-the-mill school drama. Like, it's not good, it's not great. Or it's not bad, it's not good. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. It's not bad, it's not good.
It's decent. Eh.
Like, it's hard to say, because the way...
Oh, that's okay.
This is kind of like Rent a Girlfriend, where you think to yourself, like, I really hate this character.
Okay.
But if you feel as though the process and the journey is worth the destination, then yeah, sure, give it a shot. So this show has a really interesting premise. And while, again, like, I'm not entirely convinced with the show as a whole, the show revolves around a topic that could really, that could spark some really interesting discussion. So the premise of this show, so the show is called Bottom Tier Tomazaki-kun. Tomazaki is one of the best players of Attack Families, or Attack Fam. It's Smash Bros. It's Smash Bros. So I'm just going to call it Smash from now on. I don't want to say Attack Fam, because no one knows what that is. Everyone knows what Smash is. I'm going to say that. So while being at the top of the food chain at Smash, in the real world, he's a complete outcast with no friends and a complete lack of social skills. It's kind of like a lot of people.
Nowadays, yeah.
So the way that he lives his life, he sees life as an unfair game and himself as a low-tiered character of that game. Because you know how, like, in different games there will be like different tiers. These characters are the top tier. These are the ones which have the highest probability of you actually doing well at it. And then down at the bottom or the bottom tier, like, no matter what you do, you will never be able to be good at it. Or you can be good at it, but the height of your potential completely minuscule compared to everyone else.
Like a Magikarp.
Yeah.
Before it can evolve into a Gyarados, or however you pronounce it, right?
Yeah. Carb, so you, carb. Yeah, you just have, you have, you, you have zero potential. And it's one of those things where, well, like, if you don't have potential, then like, what's the point of trying? Right.
Right.
And so the issue with Tomozaki is that that's exactly what's happened. He's pretty much, he's more or less given up on reality and just focus on his game until he meets another top tier Smash player. And this is in the form of his classmate, Hinami. The problem is, and they don't know each other at first, and then they meet up for like a Smash,
like a LAN party.
Not a LAN party, but it's like it's an offline meeting. Because the two of them are the top ranked players in Smash. And so they're like, well, you know, we're the top of the bunch. Why don't we just meet and just hang out or whatnot? So,
right.
Of course, like Tomozaki thinks it's a dude. And really, it's one of his classmates. But the problem is that this classmate of his, who is a top ranked Smash player, she also happens to be highly ranked in the real world. So she's good looking. She's sociable. She's smart. She's athletic. She's popular. So it's kind of one of those things where it's just like, well, we're both good at the same thing virtually, but in the real world, we're on completely opposite ends of the spectrum. So what the fuck gives, right? You know, life fucking sucks. So what Hinami does is that she decides to help him
level up.
Yeah, pretty much level up his real world character. This has nothing to do with my enjoyment of the show. This is more or less my critique on the character himself. Tomozaki starts off as a really pitiful character. Like you hate it whenever this guy talks. You ever had that one friend who always complains about how shitty their life is? And then they will always go out of their way to just talk themselves down. Whether it's just to like self-depreciate themselves further, or they're looking for sympathy, or it's both. Yep. That's this guy.
Yep.
Ugh. Yeah. You know, like you're trying to cheer them up. It's like, well, why don't you, why don't you just do this? It's like, well, oh, no, it's like, what, like what's the point? Like, what's the point, man? It's like, I can't, like, you know, it's like, oh, I just, like,
I'm not good
bother.
Enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, I wish I could do something like that. Maybe if it wasn't so.
Oh, you're so good at
yeah,
this.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, I wish I was that good. It's like, okay.
That's this guy, which makes it really hard to watch sometimes. And that's not that's not even the worst part. So he talks down on everyone. So he talks down on all the people that quote unquote have it easy with life.
Normies.
Right, and that's actually what he calls them. He calls them normies.
No.
Yeah, he calls them normies.
Really? These normies in anime now. That's crazy. That's crazy. Right?
Yeah. Like all these people have it so easy. They have no problems interacting with other people. They look good. They're smart. They're so athletic. And he complains about them, but never once does he actually do anything to help his own circumstances.
Question.
Yes.
Has he called anyone a Chad?
I wonder if that would be like a translation thing. I can't remember.
I think that'd be translation. Can you imagine being a translator and just be like, let me just slip this in.
It gets the point across.
I'm just trying to imagine watching an anime and then just the character goes like, don't be such a Chad. Sorry. Go ahead.
What's the opposite of a Chad?
Oh, I don't know. What is the opposite of a Chad?
I know they use like the incel, but I don't know if there's an actual name. Anyway, moving on. Hinami, she's an angel and she's a saint and she's so patient. And she also calls him out on his shit. She won't take any of his shit. So the two of them, they meet up in episode one. So I'm not really spoiling anything, but she shows up to the meet she's in like a smart matching outfit. She has makeup on, her hair's done. And then Tomozaki shows up with dirty shoes, tattered pants. He has a wrinkled shirt. He has bed head. He's like slouching half the time. And they start talking about the differences between them. They're so similar in Smash, and yet they're so different. They're different in real life. And it's that classic, if only I had blank, things would be better. And he actually says that to her. He says, if I were a top tier character like you, attractive, smart, athletic, I'd be doing a little better. And he's just constantly making these excuses throughout. And like, I'm not to say that you can't use that statement. And I think that there are circumstances, this is kind of going into like what this show could, what kind of discussion this show could actually foster. Like, I think there are circumstances where you could use that statement where it's like, if only I had blank, things would be better. But usually those are in cases of like actual privilege discrepancy, like whether it's issues such as like racial or gender discrepancies. But when it's simply a matter of I feel unattractive, but I'm not going to do anything about it, or I feel out of shape, but I'm not going to bother with exercise, like that's on you.
Oh, 100%. Like if it's something that you can't change.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I would still say don't dwell on it. Like I always make jokes that I'm not tall, but I actually don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm my height, whatever. It is what it is. I don't bonk my head when I go through a door. Great. Can I do anything to change it? No. Do I need to? No.
Mm-hmm. Like, for example, like for me, as a person of color, and I'm not even like, I wouldn't consider myself like a very substantial person of color, but like when you look at things like racial or like systemic racism, like that could be something where it's like, I could honestly say like, if I were white, like, yeah, like my life would be better. Like I think that it would be, yeah, look, there are so many perks to being white.
100%. And you know what's funny?
Idea.
No. Listen, I have a funny story. I had something that was kind of like the opposite. A bit of a situation where when someone found out that I'm not actually, I guess, Canadian, like North American, that the fact that I'm actually Latino.
Yeah.
Improved my situation. this is funny because English 20. I had a teacher. I won't name call. And
I remember this story. Go on.
Yeah, literally, for the entirety of the class, for the first half of the class, I was getting like 80s, maybe a 90 here and there, but like. Really, that was the highest mark I could achieve. Like, pretty much regular 80s. I don't know how, but it came up in conversation with the teacher that I was ESL. From then on, hundreds.
I mean, speaking of ESL, because a similar ESL story for me. But when I was a kid, I was automatically put into the ESL class. I was only in there for the short amount of time because they eventually realized that I had pretty good fluency in English. But like looking back on it, like that's some pretty racist shit.
Oh, 100%.
Like, oh, here's this colored kid. Let's just assume like, oh, I mean, like I talked to this kid's parents. His parents have an accent. I'm going to assume that he's going to have English problems. So we're deviating from the point. But yeah, so. Like those kinds of issues, yeah, totally. Like there's a problem with that. But when it's a matter of, like,
I'm not in shape.
Yeah, or just like I feel unattractive, but I'm gonna continue wearing loose, like unfitting clothing.
I'm not gonna do my hair.
Yeah, like fuck it, do your fucking hair.
Yeah,
like go for a walk. Fuck it, let's do this together, right? So yeah, like God bless. It's not Hinami, it's Hanami. Sorry, I messed up the vowels. like in the first episode, he tells him, like, there are so many easy things that you can do to instantly make yourself better. Because they go back to her house where she begins to help him out, and like she has her makeup off, and he's like, "Oh, you know, I don't know who you are," and she's like, "Well, you know, this is how I look like naturally, right? If you were to wear makeup, you'd probably look just a little bit better, right?" And then she says, like, things such as like just your facial expression, your posture, smallest amount of makeup, these can make instant differences for little to no effort. So you might not be at the top, or you might not ever be at the top, but at least you can honestly say you've made an effort. There's a difference between doing your best and still losing, and losing without putting up a fight. And like looking at my own life, and I've kind of dwelt on this a little bit. I'm not gonna go into the details of my mental health issues or anything like that, but in terms of the things that I have like a lot of like confidence and self-esteem issues about. I got around to just doing something about it. Right. So, you know, between high school and university, I gained 25 pounds. I'm down 20. So I'm almost at that split. I'm almost at an even balance. So, you know, it's taking a lot of effort, but I'm doing it. In terms of clothing, like I do my best to make sure that I actually find clothes that fit. That helps like any sort of short guy. I'm on the cusp of 5'5". I don't have a lot going for me. So like you got to find like, you know, short guys really need to find fitting clothing, or else they are going to look like shit.
I know they're pricey, but the fact that Lululemon pants, they just give you a complimentary hemming. Bless.
Yeah.
Single time I go, like, I get like a gift card for like Christmas or something for Lululemon, I'm like, hell yeah, let's go get new pants.
Yeah. just basic fashion advice for short guys: you need to get fitting clothing. Any amount of loose clothing will just make you look shorter, because 100%. It just accentuates the width, which compresses the height. I used to work kind of semi in fashion. So I kind of have a little bit of authority when talking about this. So,
You were like grilling the example picture that I sent for the groomsman. All the guys were like, yeah, those are good colors. And you were like, those look like shit. Sorry. Yeah. But yeah. I think it's just finding how to work around those things that you feel insecure about, mm-hmm. right? Doing something about it.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, one good example would be watching Queer Eye.
I fucking love Queer Eye.
It was such a good show. And it was just so interesting to see so many ways that one can just change the way you view yourself, how you look, how you take care of yourself, and it just improves the quality of your life.
Mm-hmm. And really, what can you do with what you've got? And like you kind of have to be like honest with yourself. I mean, like for me, like realistically, if I don't try anything, I'm a solid 6. Like if I get around to it, like, you know, clean up, wear like, you know, the proper clothing, like, you know, I can be confident 7.5, 8.
Oh, come on, dude. You're still a little bit more credit. So, come on.
Actually, that's Queer Eye. That's such a good analogy. So like, that's kind of what Hanami's doing.
That's what it was reminding me of.
She is all the queer guys at once.
She's the Fab Five.
Yeah, she's the Fab Five all at once, right? She's giving clothing advice like Tan. She's giving lifestyle advice like Karamu. Is that that's the name, right?
Karamu, yeah.
Yeah. Like fixing up just like other appearance, like Jonathan. It's great.
Man, Jonathan can be a bit much sometimes. But he's cool. They're all so cool. You know who doesn't get enough recognition? My boy, Bobby. Man, my boy Bobby does the biggest thing.
And he does everything behind the scenes.
It's all behind the scenes. They don't show anything. Because I get it's all for the big reveal, but it's like, after the big reveal, show us what he did behind the scenes.
We need justice for Bobby. Bobby.
Justice for Bobby. And Anthony's pretty damn cool.
He's also Canadian. He's Canadian. So, yeah. So it's kind of funny because we're talking about like the act, like what the show is addressing rather than the show. And that's kind of the point that I was trying to make at the beginning when I started talking about it. It's like, it's not so much about the show. It's really what
it's trying to showcase.
Yeah. It's what the show is trying to show.
I see. So no, that's cool. I still don't know if I'll check it out, but
yeah, it's one of the, it's again, like, you don't really have to check it out more so than you can just talk about it. Like, I'm watching it just to see how the guy does, how buddy guy progresses.
But
I've started using it. I hate you.
Hey, buddy guy. I don't know where I got that from, to be honest with you. Did you get it from me?
I got it from you.
Okay, then I'll switch it up. I'll start using Ricky. Hey, Ricky. Come over here, Ricky. Ready, Ricky?
We're at an hour 45, so I think that we should probably end it really great there.
Yeah, we should should start ending it soon. But I guess another... Chris touched on it briefly, but I did want to say that another excuse, and I'm calling it an excuse because really I should be watching more anime, but also... You're not my boss. I'll do what I want.
I'm kind of your boss.
No.
I give you the illusion that you have say in what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a good topic. Yeah, I never talked about it again.
We're gonna do this instead.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess one of my excuses for the listeners, I decided to start streaming. Should I have? No. Yeah. Well, likely not. Do I have the PC for that? No. Can I stream any game that I want?
But as we talked about with Tomozaki-kun, you got to make do with what you got, and you got to stop making excuses. You could branch that show off into anything.
Anything. So I realized, I can stream Skyrim with my laptop. Building a PC is not currently anywhere near my priorities.
You've got a wedding to pay for.
I have a wedding to pay for. And an apartment to pay for. We got an apartment. So I bought a couch and a mattress. And I was sitting there paying for those things. And I was like, can I go back to high school?
Man, real life is such a shitty game.
Yeah, true life sucks. Why couldn't I be like Jeff Bezos and have money?
Jeff Bezos is who's a high tier character in Smash. Jeff Bezos is the Pikachu. I don't know. Don't call me out. I don't know anything.
I never played Smash in my life. Maybe once or twice at a friend's house, but that was it.
I play, but I don't play the top tier characters.
Oh, I was a PlayStation kid, not Nintendo. But yeah, I'm playing Skyrim over at Twitch. So, and fun fact, we made a YouTube channel for Kanakotaku.
Yep, so you can find us on our YouTube channel. We'll be posting stuff that we're doing. We'll be doing Let's Plays, but I guess more relatable to the podcast, I'm going to be cutting up segments of our podcast episodes so that they're going to be a little bit more bite-sized, because we have, our episodes are 8-course meals. They're pretty long.
Yeah. Sometimes there's little pockets of topics.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going to be putting on there. So it could be like 5 to 20 minute segments that you can enjoy. Highlights. So yeah, we're going to have like, it'll be very focused so that you know exactly what it is that we're talking, that we'll be talking about, and it'll be there. So some way of traffic, some way of just have a more focused focused bite.
Yeah. More concentrated.
Yeah, more concentrated. There we go.
Yeah. And yeah, I did upload my streams, my VODs, I guess you call them, VODs, VODs, I don't know, whatever, the streams. So my Skyrim playlist playthrough is in there if anyone wants to watch me struggle and see Chris typing in chat as I struggle. Yeah. But yeah, so that's my excuse as to why I haven't been watching anime. I've been dying in Skyrim. I'm low tier in life.
You're low tier
and low and tier in Skyrim.
Oh man, that's a double negative. What are you gonna do about it?
Not lower the difficulty because I ain't no bitch.
You're gonna keep working on it. So
yeah, you keep using modded weapons.
I guess you can cheat your way through life as well.
Yeah, fake it till
next
you make
topic. Undecided. We're gonna figure that out. We'll see.
Like I always say, give us suggestions.
Yeah, give us suggestions.
Reach out to us on Twitter.
We're always looking for suggestions. Next one might be a mundane morning where we'll talk about just random stuff. But yeah, look out for that. It'll be whatever. So if you're listening to
need to catch up on shows.
Yeah, maybe it'll just be a continuation of how we really need to adopt more responsibility.
Yeah.
Whoever thought anime would be a chore.
Right. No, yeah.
We've run out of things to say, which means it's time to end it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Connected Toggle podcast. Make sure to share this with all of your anime friends. We're trying to get as many people on board as much as possible, whether they listen to the full episodes or whether they head over to our new YouTube channel where they can enjoy our podcast in more bite-sized pieces. That's it.
Make sure to reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, or simply by email at kotakupodcast@gmail.com.
That's Kotaku with a C, not with a K.
Yeah, with a C, yeah. Yeah, right. I always forget that there is another Kotaku website. So.
Thanks a lot, you guys. Stay safe out there. We'll get through this. We'll see you guys later.
Bye.